Christmas paper.
Well, you've shared a lot of great, you know, stories, obviously, the last couple of weeks, but now tonight's a special night to kind of just celebrate him. What, as you think about celebrating his life, what does go through your mind?
Good question, Dave. I've got so many things that go through my mind. My wife kept saying on the way over here, did you write something down? I didn't write anything down because I wouldn't know where to start. I could tell some stories of our interactions with each other over the past 40 years that would be, I think, to some hilarious and to some probably give us both sued. But, he was a big part of a lot of things that I tried to do, and I know he allowed me to be a part of some of the things that he was doing. I've got a lot of stories. I think I agree. This is a celebration of who he was, what he was, the things he did, and I sure hope people look at that.
Why did you like him so much? I mean, was it an instant relationship that developed, or how did that come about?
No, I don't think it was instant. There were a couple of things that happened, and I tried to figure out what kind of man was this. I'm telling a story here, and it's true. Coming from Kentucky, country boy, and I always knew my mom wanted a mink. Now, when I came with the Bullets, we made good money, but we didn't make mink money. So, Christmas of my first year, I'd seen somewhere, she'd seen somewhere, I think they called it a mink stole. And it's just a little thing that about this big, about that long, went around the neck. I mean, some of your older people might remember what they were called. And one day I was talking to him, and I asked him, where could I get one of these things? And he sent me to a place just right up from the Civic Center in Baltimore, a guy by the name of J. Allen Furs. And the reason why I say that name is because they became lifelong friends of mine. I just lost one of them just this last year. Well, I went up there, and Mr. Poland had already called up there to tell him to show me some stoves. I was really getting scared because I didn't have anywhere near the money I thought to get a meat stove. I didn't know what they cost. But I went up there, and Mr. Freeman was pulling out all these furs and coats, and I'm standing back there like catatonic. So he finally gets this little thing. And I said, that's it, because it was small. He said, okay, I'll send this to your mother. And I get a call 4 or 5 days later, right before Christmas. My mom screamed. She said, it was something she's always wanted. She's not going to wear it. She just wanted to say at one time in her life that she got a mink. And Mr. Freeman also threw in a mink hat. And I saw that happen. I thought it looked like some of the guys on Pennsylvania Avenue. She loved it, and I mean, she cherished it the rest of her life. But, making sure I was, I said, well, how much was it? He said, we'll talk later. So I'm afraid for months. So finally, I just said, I got to pay for this thing, it's off my country. And I went back to him, and he said, they took care of that. Now, today, that would be violation of the salary cap, I'm sure. But, those type of things. And there were incidents where, things like that happened. So it took time to figure out what kind of man this was. But over the years, it got to be more than just giving and taking. It was affection.
Was that the kind of stuff you do for a lot of players, or was that just...
He did a lot of things for a lot of players. But see, the problem is, I wouldn't know. I know he did things for Earl, and I know he did things for Gus, but, that was because they would mention it to me. I mentioned it to everybody. But he would never know.
So So he wasn't doing it for him to show off, what you're saying?
No, he never said a word. I don't even think he ever really remembered that much about it, except when, you know, I would bring it up. And, you know. But he would never hold that up to anybody other than something he would do. I tell you what, I saw him do it for a whole lot of other people that you or I have never heard of, I never knew, I never will know again, because I know he had me do it as a somewhat of a voice in a lot of things for him. I did that. I hate to say that I public. I spent a lot of his money on things that he did, and would never take any credit for it all. I think I told the story with the PR department here came to me on many occasions to try and get him to open up and let them talk about some of the things he was doing in the community, especially about the time we were starting to build this building, you know, good public relations. He would never do it. And I can only think that's the only time he ever just turned me down flatly, wouldn't listen to me about anything. He was there. You know, there are other times, you know, about changing the name.
So you had a disagreement with him about that one?
For years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was one of those that didn't want the name to change. And we talked about it and went back and forth. No, I don't know how much influence that carried. I don't know if it carried any. But we talked about it. And then there was an incident that happened and I knew, shut up and got help.
How did other areas, I mean, obviously the generosity you just talked about, but as you look back, where else did he have an impact in your life in terms of how you've been lived your life over the last 40 or some years?
Well, I don't want to get, you know, sentimental or anything like that, but, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, I'm somewhat of a better person because I knew him, because I watched how he did things, and hopefully you will try to do emulate some of that, but it's very difficult to say flat out, you know, that I changed my life because of something with a reaction with interaction with anybody. But, there were incidents that I think helped mold a lot of people.
Is that something that struck you early on, how much you wanted a winner?
Oh, well, that was from the start.
How you doing?
I said this, he was a competitor. You know, we used to, from the first year I came with the Bullets, we used to shoot three-point shots, 10 three-point shots each. And whoever made the most was the winner, and the loser had to donate a certain amount of money to the winner's charity. Well, you know, I wasn't the smartest guy on the planet, being from Kentucky, I guess, but I thought, you let the boss win, that any dummy can figure that part out. I don't know if he ever caught on that I was doing that. But, I mean, come on. Good Jewish guy about this big, big old fat black guy about this big, you know, he couldn't figure that out, and he didn't believe me when I told him, and I did on many, many occasions that I let him win, and you laugh, right, but I captained his team for 13 years, I coached his team longer than probably both of us wanted me to. I was in his front office for many years. I was general manager for his team. That's corporate advancement, guys. It worked.
Now, I know how disappointed he was in 75 when he didn't win the championship. How was it 3 years later when he came back in 78 and won? He must have been elated.
Oh, he was elated. I know he was disappointed. I think we all were, but we were also down in the dumps then. Let me think back. Being honest, I don't know in 75, I guess. I was only playing Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most disappointing, because we were supposed to win. We should have won, but we didn't come anywhere close. And that was very disappointing. The year we played, was it Milwaukee, whoever it was, you know, we probably weren't as good as they were. And Seattle was a given one way or the other. So it was very disappointing, in all honesty, to lose a 75. So when we did win against Seattle, it was, to me, it was a time of relief. It was in my 10th year as a player, and I knew I didn't have many shots now, if any. So it was a tremendous relief. I don't know how else I could relieve.
Didn't you once tell me to go buy an island instead of build this place, or?
Yeah, I told him that many times. I just, when he came to me, this was a year after I, I don't know, he fired me. Well, he tried to fire me as coach. And just a long story short, you know, he called me up. I've been, coaching. He had to fire me. I don't know, when is he going to do it? So he called me one Sunday and asked me and my wife to come over to his house. And I told God, that's the kind of, this is it. We can go out to dinner after this. There's relief for both of us. So we go over to his house and we sit down with him and his phone and we talk, laugh, we chat. This went on and on. I'm like, okay, man, let's go. Gotta say the word. And he never did. So finally, I said, hey, we got to talk. So we go in the room and we started talking. He got emotional. I got emotional. But, you know, that guy, I'm still coaching the Wizards. He never fired me. So I think he owed me a lot of back pay. But he was that way. And, we had that kind of relationship every time. I said, I need to take a year off, because I was going through some changes. And he said, good, you can take a year off and do whatever you want. I was doing a camp up in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, about a month or so after that incident, and he comes up. Just with it, I thought we'd shoot 10 baskets, and I wouldn't let him win anymore. So he comes up, so we got to talk. And so we talked, and he finally said, I'm getting ready to do something. I need you to come in and join with me and help me. And that's when we started talking about, for the first time I'd heard about the MTI, at that time, it's a new place down here in D.C. That's how I got involved in it.
One more question.
When you looked at the community, because I know he sent a lot of you all out into the community when he started this project. How did that work out for the players? How did they feel about that?
I will never try to speak for players. Okay. A lot of them were happy to do it, but I don't think it was so much to do it just for this project. He had always tried to keep, at that time, Bullets and Bullets out in the community, because he genuinely thought they would do some good for a lot of youngsters, mostly, but for a lot of people. But he wanted that to happen. And his PR staff, of course, were instructed to make those things happen.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.